Blog Talk Radio.
Conviction to the redemption by Stephen L. Bobo.
Hey, Danny. Come here. Please. Good morning or good afternoon or good evening, everybody. This is Stephen Bubba Bozilla, if you will. Tonight I have a special guest. If she's on, please introduce yourself to the people.
Hi, I am on. Good evening to everybody. My name is Sheila Bruno. It's such a pleasure to be with you tonight. Thank you so much, Stephen and team, for making this happen. I'm on.
No problem. First of all, why don't you tell everybody what you do and what's your story and everything that's going on with you? I do have a couple questions for you, but go right ahead and let everybody know.
Okay, again, my name is Sheila Bruno, and I am the founder of a nonprofit organization called Wife After Prison, and it was established in 2018. I'm also an author, published author. I just published my first book, October 2018. The title of my book is called Wife After Prison, Caught in the Aftermath. I'm also a speaker as well as a life coach, and my specialty is reentry. And so, a little about my story, and I'm going to sum it all up hopefully in less than 3 minutes, but my husband, it started in 1976. My husband and I dated in the ninth grade. It was 1976. And in 2014, I was working overseas in Bagram, Afghanistan. And I received a friend request from him. And I hadn't seen or heard from him in 38 years since we had left school that summer. And 53 days later, we were married. And come to find out what he did tell me, that within those 38 years that he and I hadn't had any type of communication, that he had been in prison for 28 years. He and I got married April 2014. And for the first year and a half, everything was amazing, just the perfect husband, you know, breakfast in bed and flowers and, you know, real attentive to my needs and all of that. But going into that second year, he began to change. Behavior changed. He became somebody that I didn't recognize. And So you want me to take a break?
I tell you, that's one thing that's most, and I know that's definitely a lot. Well, all men that are incarcerated have been incarcerated. Myself has been incarcerated. Everybody knows this, SCO and inmate. But it is something that you have to understand that when you go to prison and you get out and you are married, it does take a title on the wife. And I'm not trying to agree, but if she's absolutely right, it does take a huge title on the wife, the girlfriend, because you are now a person who has just got loose into a society. It's like a whole other world when you're in prison. It's a whole other thing. People who have been locked up, incarcerated, I'd say locked up, been incarcerated, they understand that you have been incarcerated going by somebody else's rules. You're like I said, my thing was I hate being behind closed doors now. But these are things that you have to now get used to because she was locked up with you, but not like you were.
Right.
The wife or girlfriend has been the same thing, especially, okay, I can say for my wife, I was high profile, which means I was all over the media, the news, newspapers, and everything like that. So she also carried that burden like I did too. So they need to understand that we have to take it easy how we treat our women, our wives, our mothers, anything, our children, because things are a lot different when you come home because they have been doing this without you for so long. So now you have to, truthfully, you have to go into their world. Now you've been in three different worlds. You know, your world before you got locked up, and then you got locked up that world. Then you come home, now you're going to go into the spouse world because she has done everything. The bills, the housekeeping, the car up, and all the feeding the dog, make sure everything's taken care of, walking the kids to school, all that type of stuff. She has to deal with all that. So when you come in and you try to flex your muscle, you shouldn't even do that. That causes more problems than it's worth.
Yeah.
Anything else you have to say on that one? I feel that way. I know I did that.
Well, you know what, Stephen? That wasn't our case as much because he didn't try to flex his muscle. You know, he was just trying to fit in, but the pressure of it all to take a toll on him. And like I said, he began to change. He became really moody and real agitated and irritated by the least things. He isolated himself from me, and we separated. Three times. The third time I was headed for the divorce court because it was taking such a toll on me. And I remember one day just in the bed crying out to God, show me what's happening with my husband. You know, what's happening with him. And God had me to Google, can a boy become a man in prison? So he went to prison when he was 20 and he got out at 48. Although he was 20, you know, prior to prison, there was some traumatic experience. And I don't know if you're familiar with the term arrested development, but arrested development is when you experience some type of trauma at an early age, then the developmental of a certain parts of your mind get arrested, and you can't go past that. What was happening with my husband. And so another thing, you know, for the sake of time, I just want to tell them what so when I Googled can a boy become a man in prison, there were two websites that led me to. One of them was the psychological impact of incarceration, and another one was post-incarceration syndrome and relapse. And so in those articles were a list of symptoms, and every symptom that was listed is what I was seeing in my husband, with the exception of substance abuse because he never used drugs. And so, you know, I needed support for myself because the vicarious, the trauma of it had attached itself to me, causing me to go into such a dark place in a depression. And so I needed support for myself. But I looked for support groups. I looked for support groups for after they get out of prison. And everything that I found was they're currently incarcerated. And that's not what I needed. So what I did, went ahead and I joined 26 groups on Facebook, 26 prison wives groups, and I totaled up the members, and it was over 26,000 members. And so I started going to the groups and asking, have you heard of post-incarceration syndrome? And everything that was coming back was no, no, no. So my husband and I talked about it, and we said, hey, we got to be transparent about this. We got to share our story. And when we began to do Facebook Live and being very transparent, then the calls and the text and the, you know, DMs start coming. Oh, my God, he's coming home, and I'm scared. Or, oh, my God, had I known this 10 years ago, maybe me and my husband would still be together. Or, oh, my God, had I known this, maybe my husband would still be alive, because 3 days after he got out of prison, he committed suicide. So that's our deal. We wanted to make people aware of this.
You know, like when we and you were talking, and I read off, and you said I had some of the steps, you know, and I believe that, because you, when you get out of prison, you're not ever taken to the point where you're supposed to get some type of mental help, because everybody gets out, the first thing they're worried about is getting home and seeing their family and their loved ones and stuff like that, which is clear, you know, but you need to be able to go and get the help that you need, because you do not get it while you're inside. You don't get that inside those walls. And that right there is something that would help a lot of relationships, a lot of marriages, a lot of things, because I know there's a lot of stuff that I would have done different and would have said different. And I still have problems with that, some of that stuff now. And I deal with that with the people that I'm involved with now. And, you know, it's not fair to them, because it's something that you literally have to take it with a grain of salt, because when you told me that, I was like, oh, my God, these are things these guys and women need to know, because they don't know, we don't know that when you're inside the walls. You don't know anything. That when you told me, that's the first time I ever heard of it.
Right. And so although, you know, the organization is called Wife After Prison, and sometimes people think, you know, it's just for the wife, the significant other, or the girlfriend. No, this is a conversation for everybody, because there's a mother out there that has a son in prison, or a mother that has a daughter in prison. So this is a community, this is a society conversation, just not for relationships. You know, this is somebody, something that everybody needs to know. You need to know the signs. You need to know the symptoms. You need to know the triggers. And like I said, after it appeared in my house, you know, I just started deep diving and doing a lot of research and start talking to mental health professionals and just going really deep in it so that I could educate people on this. And it has become a buzzword in the prison wife groups. It's become a buzzword behind the walls, because at every opportunity that I get, you know, I'm passing this information on to loved ones who are in prison. And so now they're concerned about, you know, this post-incarceration syndrome that nobody, it seems like it was just hidden up on the rock. I'm like, nobody is talking about this. And I'll tell you, when it appeared in our marriage, you know how it is when someone breaks into your house, you come home and somebody broke in your house, you feel all violated. That's the way I felt when it came in my marriage. I just felt so violated that I just couldn't lay down and accept this. And we couldn't keep it to ourselves. Yeah, so
and that's a great thing that you did do.
I'm good. Hey, but this is another point that I want to make too, is that you know, there are, when our loved ones come home, there's a lot of things that they will not know, and we have to give permission to not know, you know, and not be like, I just told you that a couple of days ago. And I say that to say, once, you know, my husband, he had admitted that he didn't know how to do something, and I don't have time to go into all of that.
Right.
But for me, you know, I was blindsided, because some of the things that we take for granted, you know, it's like foreign to them. One of the ladies was, she was like, she was irritated with her husband. He had did 25 years, and she was irritated that he, every time he left the room, he left the light on. So she was concerned about her utility bill. And I said, well, you know, for 25, I said, how long was he away? And she said, 25 years. I said, okay, well, 25 years, he did not have to cut off a light switch, you know? So he's going to walk out of that room and forget to cut off that light switch. So it's just things that we take for granted. Yeah. So, and
that's
it's just
exactly
another
right.
thing. It's just a lot of learned behavior. And another thing is with the post-incarceration syndromes, you know, when your loved ones come home, it's important to pay attention to them, but not be all over them where it'd be so obvious, because with the post-incarceration syndrome, there are progressions, you know, and then, you know, they first come home, stage one, they may feel hopeless, they may feel helpless because they can't find that job. And like you said before, you know, the people come home, when they come home, I got to get a job, I got to get a job. Okay, so if you don't get that job in the first 30, 60, 90 days, you begin to feel helpless. So that's stage one of it, and then stage two of it, you begin to be fearful. Okay, you know, I don't have this job, I got to pay this PO, this $10 a month, and you know, if I don't get this, this money to So it's just a conversation. And like I tell people, I said, this is like an onion, because you peel one layer back and then there's something else. And you peel another layer back and there's something else. So this is why we need to talk about this. We need to get educated so that we can educate our loved ones, so then they can take action when they get home, and then they can and we can become advocates of mental health treatment.
That's so true. That, you know what, and another thing, a lot of people, and people don't understand that also, when you come home and you and your wife or you and your friends are out and you get pulled over by the police or the police come out and follow you, you get paranoid. You did, because I know I did. I know me and my best friend got pulled over by the police, and I was just scared. I said, because, oh, no, Lord, I got to go tell my, because you have to tell your probation officer or parole officer, anytime you're involved with law enforcement, you have to let them know. So I had to get home, call him, and, like, me and my friend was just, I wasn't driving, me and my friend was just pulled over. And then he started up all the questions. Well, was there any narcotics in the car? Did you have any guns in the car? Did you have any alcohol in the car? Were you drinking, or were you this, or were you that? And then, you know, you flash back to when you were in prison, when the COs have to shake your block down, and you're paranoid about that, because it's just what it is. It just constantly keeps coming back. It's a flashback every time you see the police.
Right.
I've been out now about 6-7 years, and to this day, I still freak out when I see the police. And I know it shouldn't be, but it does, because, you know, it's drilled into your brain. And then you make your wife or your spouse nervous when she's driving, like, oh, my God, there's the police. I got to be careful because my husband or my boyfriend's in the car. Even if they did, you guys are not doing nothing, that's the first thing you think. Oh, my God, they're going to pull us over, or they're going to take him back. And that's the first thing you think about. And that, you know, and that's what it's in the stress. It's you know, I have to say that to me, the stress is harder on the woman than it is the man, because she has to, like I said, she has to carry all the weight of, especially if he doesn't have a job. She has to pull all the weight about paying the bills, helping give him some money if he got to pay his PO, take care of the car, taking care of the kids, she has to work, whatever like that. And it's scary. Because a wife or a girlfriend needs to take that class, needs to be a class that they need to take before he comes home so she can get ready.
Right. And you know what? I'm actually working on a program right now. Well, it will educate you. Well, you'll know exactly what it is. You'll be able to recognize the signs and the symptoms. So I'm hoping to launch that program in February. And I'll say this, you know, when my husband and I first got married, you know, I knew he just had maybe $700 worth of bills per month. So I carried everything. I didn't want to pressure him about anything. But after 2 years, you know, I got like, okay, I need you to do more. I need you to be more responsible.
Exactly.
I need you to be ahead of the household. And so he just stopped me one day. He said, Sheila, what does that look like? He said, what does responsibility look like? And I was like, wow. Mm. He said, prison strips you of all your responsibilities. You tell
you're
when
right.
You get when you go. Yeah.
You're right.
And so that's another thing that we take for granted. And I was like, wow. Yeah. He said, what does responsibility look like? So this is an ongoing conversation. We'll never stop talking about this.
You're right. And you hit the nail on the head when you said that, because it almost was like prison has stripped you down of your manhood, and even when you get out, they're stripping you down because you can't find a job, or this has to happen.
Right.
Then your wife or your girlfriend's paying all the bills, and she said, just like you said, 2 years in, like, okay, I'm tired of paying all these bills by myself, and you're just here. I know you're probably trying to find a job, but you're just here. I can't keep feeding you, feeding the kids, feeding me. You can't do it, and I get it.
Yeah.
I definitely get it, because I know my wife went through the same thing, and I get it. And for a long time, I was upset with her with that. So how am I supposed to do anything when I can't find a job? And she's the first thing she said, well, I'm not the one who told you to go out there and sell them drugs and do what you did. She's like, but she didn't rub it in my face like that. But that's how I felt. And my mother said that to my face. She said, well, look, you can't be mad at her because she's not the one who went out there and did what you did. So you got to pay the cop. You got to pay the piper. And, I just don't – I get it. I get it. But I think what you say is beautiful. But we need to find more. We need to have a class like that. I hope, I pray that you get this thing so these women can get out there to help and bring their strength up. Because women are already strong. And then when they come and deal with this, it kind of breaks them down a little bit more. And I don't want to see that, because our women, our queens, need to be strong, because this is something that's hurting everybody. Does it even work? Okay, my question is, I'm sorry, I keep going on. But my question is, will this also work with the child? If they have a child locked up, will it still work with them?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
I just thought a couple of months ago, I was like, you know what? I need to start sharing this message. And I'm also working to go into high schools now and start talking to children about incarcerated parents so they can understand. They can understand what post-incarceration syndrome is. It's a set of symptoms that that occur in those who are currently incarcerated, released, most of them in those who spend a lot of time in solitary confinement. So there's different symptoms, and we're actually going to talk about one later on the live tonight. We're going to talk about institutionalization, So like I said, this thing is an onion. It's an onion. We could never peel it all back.
You can't. That's why I say my prison, the school to prison pipeline, I said it's nothing we're going to be able to stop. But you can put dents in it. You can put dents in it. You can put a different route. You can come off of the pipeline, go somewhere else. But this is the thing you have to understand, it's always going to be there. But you have to put those signs up to let you know where it's at. And beware of this. Like, we driving down the streets about big traffic ahead. Stuff like that. You need to have these type of things so these kids and these parents can see. And like you said, this book is something right there that's a spot thing. It's going to show these kids and show these mothers and these wives that, hey, this is what's going to be ahead when they come home, so be ready for it.
Right. You're so right. So, but I don't want to leave my husband hanging out there. He's doing extremely well. March, it'll be 10 years for him, and, he's still on parole. He'll be on parole to 2051. He only has to report 3 times a year to a parole officer. He now works for the prison that he spent the last 19 months in, across from his office, the cell that he once occupied. And so that same back gate that he walked out of, he now walks returning citizens out the back gate.
Amen. So, see, my men on here who are formerly incarcerated, there is life after them bars and after them doors. There's life out there. Just don't give up. I know it's easier said than done, but it is out there that you can do it. Just got to put your mind to it. Keep fighting. Keep watching. Don't do nothing crazy, but keep fighting.
Yeah.
Keep watching. There's things out there to do it.
Yeah.
And then the main thing is help that woman in your life. Don't make it stressful for her, getting upset with her when she doesn't understand what you're going through, because she doesn't understand.
Right.
We were locked up. We don't understand what goes on in there. They only understand what we tell her. Especially when she drops herself, let her know. Let her know there's help out there. There's help out there to get to understand. I'm sorry, go ahead.
And if you're struggling with anything, if you're struggling, just go talk to somebody. We'll talk to a homeboy that can't do absolutely nothing for us, but go talk to somebody. A therapist is somebody just who can help you to navigate your thinking. And it's your thinking that can drive you crazy. Just go talk to somebody.
That's right. That thinking. Yeah, that thinking. Don't think you know what to do, because something that's right here, you don't know what to do. This is something that's totally different. Like I said, I was locked up, but I never ever heard of. They never taught us this. And they're not going to.
No,
they're not going to teach us anything.
Yeah, you know, I had one prison to reach out to me and ask me to do a curriculum, and I actually taught my first class month before last, and so I'll go back this quarter starting in January and teach it again.
That's good.
So this,
that's
yeah,
good.
This is a private prison, but see, I can't hit all of the prisons, so that's why I'm creating a course so that I can train others so that they can hit the prisons
see,
in their community.
That's what you need. That's what we need. A wife should go in, or another guy, an inmate that has been in and has a wife that took over the course, so he can come down here like, look, this is what we need to do. With, you know, talk to the guy. Talk to them.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
there's some guys in there who want to learn. There's some guys who want to get out so they can go be the father, be the husband, be the son that they were before they got locked up.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that scares me.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Absolutely right.
There's just so much. There's so much on with this can be touched, and you can't touch it in 60 minutes. You can't touch it in 30 minutes. You can't touch. You can't touch this in 30 minutes. This has to be a couple. It has to be an hour. Has to be a little bit of time. We're down to 20 seconds. I want to say anything else you want to say before we sign off for the night.
Anything. I mean, if you want more information, you can go to my website www.lifeafterprison.com. And my book is available on my website as well as on Amazon, Life After Prison, Caught in the Aftermath. And I appreciate
Amen.
You being on the team.
Thank
you thank so
you.
Much for having me on.
No problem. I want to thank you for coming on and sharing this light, because some people out there need to hear that. There's some wives out there who need to hear that. There's some daughters out there who need to hear that, because your dad will be coming on. My mom might not be there now, but he'll be coming to stay with you. So you need to know also. So you please pay attention, read it. I want to thank everybody for coming in and listening to our show tonight. This is about it. For about a minute left, I want to say much love, everybody. Bozilla out, and I want to thank you for coming on. Anytime we can do this again, I have your back. Anytime you want to do a show, let me know.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Good night, everybody.
Good night.